Let us pray. Gracious God, we've heard the familiar story again. Help us receive the comfort it gives as if we've heard it hundreds of times before. Help us to gain new understandings as if we've heard it for the first time. And may it bless each and every one of us in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One Christmas Eve back in the early 1990s, I did a sermon that was entitled The Fragile Heirloom. And I spoke of a Christmas ornament that goes up on our family tree every year. It's a red glass ball, but if you were to look at it, not knowing its story, you would say that's the most shabbiest looking ornament I've ever seen. The red has flaked off in a lot of the ball, and the rest of it is just kind of a dirty, clear glass. And yet, for me, this ornament carries with it all the Christmases of my life. It was given to my parents by some of their friends for their first Christmas after they were married. And that was in 1949. And it's hung on every tree since then, I think, or at least I know it has in my house. And every year, I carefully pack it away so that it doesn't get broken. And I'm amazed at how something so fragile can carry such tremendous importance or symbolism. It's almost seemed that just the weight of that all of that thought and symbolism attached to it would be enough to crush it. In many ways, that's where I find myself on Christmas Eve, at least this year. In a world that's clearly hurting, there's a lot we want to expect from this little baby. This little baby whose birth we celebrate tonight. Let me just say at this point, this is kind of one of those things I always kind of feel like I need to say. If you believe the story as it's written, fine. If you don't, or you're not sure it's all that way, fine. If you think it's a myth, fine. Because you know what? It doesn't change the meaning of the story. As someone once said to me, it doesn't have to have happened to be true. Isaiah captured the mood perfectly. The Isaiah passage that Tom and Janet read. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Now, the prophet was not talking about Jesus because he spoke somewhere around 500, 600 BC, and Jesus wasn't born until around 4 BC. But he captures the essence of Jesus, and that's why the passage is the Old Testament passage for every Christmas Eve, in some way, shape, or form. It speaks of a child being born. Emmanuel, God with us. Comes to us as an infant, a baby, dependent on others, totally. God does not come as the great warrior like the people thought. Many people thought in that time God would come back. God does not come back as the great wonder-working magician. God comes as a baby. A helpless infant. Why is that? I'm reminded of hearing a long time ago, someone once said, each new child that is born is God's wish that life continue. Babies are a sign of a promise that is yet to be filled. Think of the thoughts a parent has at the birth of an infant. What will his or her life be like? What will he or she do with their life? Will they be famous? What will happen with their life? And as such, it demands then of us that we buy into the process of his or her becoming. When we baptize a child here in the Presbyterian Church, the parents and the congregation promises to raise and nurture the child so that they can come to the time where they confess that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. The parents, the congregation, buy into that child's life and helping that child to fulfill whatever he or she will become. When God with us is born as an infant, we have to buy into it. We have to promise to nurture the spirit of the child in our hearts and minds. Tonight's only about is only about a baby being born in difficult circumstances, unless we believe in the life that this baby lived has meaning, has purpose. Do you get it? The gift of God with us is fragile because it asks us to remember the whole story and ask ourselves if we believe in what this child eventually stood for. If we cannot do that, then the baby being born in a stable is a nice story. But it really has no bearing on our lives. Do you get it? What he became is the reason why his birth is so important to us. So at this point, we have to believe in what he became or what he will become. It is fragile as our ability to believe that the one born is Emmanuel. If he isn't, then Christmas is just another nice holiday where we happen to give presents to each other and maybe enjoy family get-togethers. The weight of our belief rests upon this baby being the child of God. You get it? The child born is a question for us, asking us, do you believe it? Even Mary had to decide who this child was. Yeah, she'd been told by the angels she was going to give birth to the child of God. And she becomes pregnant without having any relations with a human man. And the child is born, but it looks pretty normal. He doesn't have a halo over his head. And he's born in a stable. Is that a place for the child of God to be born? And there's no angel standing there saying, Mary, this is the one I told you about. This is him. The only way she gets that is when the shepherds come from the field and say, tell them what the angels had said to him. And Mary pondered him in her heart. Pondered them. Is he? The ornament on my tree encapsulates all of my 59 Christmases and 6 before that. The child born and placed in a manger encapsulates peace for the world, hope for those in darkness. It's a tall order. But then that's what this child's whole life was about. What do we say? What do you say? Do you believe it? Do you get it?